still at 14:17. Correct, okay, John. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And he blessed, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Melchizedek is the... He couldn't make his appearance until first there was the battle of the five kings and the four kings, and then second, then Abraham, or by his retainer, i.e. Eliezer, went out and defeated the winner of that battle. I mean, we could spend 100 million years on the battle of the senses versus the desires, but I think we've got enough to get a taste of it. Now, Abraham, through the Holy Spirit, ended up defeating the winner of that. Then comes the Peruzah. Then comes the visit of Christ. Then comes the moment when you know beyond knowing. When there is never again a doubt, and there's never again a, when nothing in the world, nothing can cause you to move off the path. That can't happen until Melchizedek feeds you. Now, the word literally means king of peace. Or king of righteousness, but it's Melchizedek of Salem, king of Salem. Salem means peace. Melchizedek means king of righteousness, which is king of Salem. This is Christ, but not Jesus Christ. This is Christ . I believe that Melchizedek made an appearance to every culture, every nation at this time. About this time. Around this time is when the only time in Egyptian history there's one pharaoh, Amenakon, or whatever his name is. He's the only pharaoh in Egyptian history in the 3500 or the 3 millennia that ever he denied all of the other gods and believed in one God. In the Vedas, the holy book of the Hindus, there's one place, one point, one magic moment in time when they speak of monotheism, one God, one person, one God in control of all. And slowly but surely, in every culture, and I don't care whether it's the ancient Navajos or the Mayans or the Shinto or whoever it is, there's some place, if they go back far enough, where there is a prophets, where a prophet has spoken or a king has spoken, there's one God. Just like in everyone's life at some point, there's a time, a brief moment, a shining moment when there's one God. Then there's two. If there's two, two isn't, we haven't studied, have we studied numerology in this one? There's two, if it, two is an unstable number spiritually. Two has to produce many. It can't just produce, it can't stay stable at 2, and it can't produce 3. 2 has to end up in poly, many. And so what people talk about, you know, when they say they believe in, if they believe in God and they believe in Satan and they got them as equal powers, well, pretty soon we're going to have, they don't believe in just 2, they believe in 30. Now, Melchizedek was Jesus Christ, was Christ after the flesh. There's a, when we get a little bit here on farther, I'll show you that when it uses a particular Hebrew word throughout the Old Testament, you can bet it's Christ coming in that form. But he wasn't the baby, so it didn't do you any good. It was just, he was testing. This is now he's testing man according to one tribe, one seed. All right? Got it a little bit? Now what did he gave him bread and wine. He gave him blood and the body of Christ. He gave him the empowerment. It's just, what is it? 3-4 verses stuck away in here. Now let's go and see something about them. Hebrews 7. Starting in 6, the last couple of verses in 6:19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek, as some pronounce it. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, being first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. For without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witness that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, go over to chapter 5, verse 5. Verse 4, no man taketh this honor unto himself, but that he is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest. But he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee, he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayer and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect or complete, he became the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now listen, this is what Paul said of this Melchizedek. He said, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Anyway. Do you accept that Melchizedek was Christ? Pretty important guy. Because your potential priesthood is based not on this Aaronic covenant with that sets up the laws of priesthood, but your priesthood is based on the order of Melchizedek, after so also was Christ. What does that mean to you? No, let's not worry about it right now. Let's go back to Genesis. Abraham gave tithes. This is the first time tithes are mentioned in the scripture. Abraham gave the tithe, which is the one, it means the tenth, but the one-tenth, but it has the further meaning in Hebrew. It means the best. It means the first and the best. It means if you had, if like in his case, if you received the booty of war, and in it were different grades of gold. In Hebrews, there are 8 different words for gold in Hebrew, depending on how it's refined and purity, etc., etc. God, the tithe would come from the best. Some of you don't know anything about tithing yet. If you cannot tithe with knowledge, don't tithe. If you only tithe periodically, don't even give it here. Just give it to the Salvation Army or someplace else. I don't want it. I don't want anything that isn't done with knowledge, and it isn't the best and the consistent best of what you have. Otherwise, just give it anywhere. Keep it if you want to. It's meaningless. The tithe has to be the best. Secondly, it has to be with joy. It has to be before everything else. You pay the tithe before you feed the baby. The reason is, it's to combat and throw back in the face of the world the idea of cause and effect. The idea that you think that you are earning something by your labors is a lie. And because you believe the lie, you are tired from your labors. You believe you're earning something by your efforts. By definition, that must tire you. You are only earning something or getting something as a gift of God. Your labor is a gift of God. It's important you recognize, or you'll be sick in the head. This is only a place for people that are cheerful givers. When you're sitting down and you're doing it grudgingly, don't do it. Bananas has come of age. You know, for a long time we didn't even talk about this. I just need to do it. Malachi is an interesting book. If you haven't read it thoroughly and studied it, you probably need to. I'm going to start, just read verse chapter 3, or part of chapter 3. It's about, fundamentally, it's about tithing and robbing, stealing, bribing. Vanity. It's a perception of vanity. It's about people that perceive that it's a vain thing to serve God. It's about people who began to save their lives. The word Malachi means messenger of God. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. Now remember covenant. Covenant will be the operative word in bananas for the next month, probably. I want you to learn everything there is about a covenant and what it means. Covenant. We are a covenant people. Even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers. You know what sorcerer is? I mean, this isn't some old lady sitting somewhere with a cauldron mixing Eye of Newton and Tail of Bat together with Tooth of Jackie. This is like you sitting in alone in your head, taking a piece of information from here, a piece of information from there, another little bit from over here, putting it together and coming up with an end result. It's called sorcery. It's the opposite of faith. You hear me? And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers. Hosea says an adulterer is anyone that goes somewhere else other than God for his sustenance. And those that oppress the hireling. No, none of you would do that. In his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord. I happen to believe that the reason there are so many homeless people in the world today, and they're increasing all over Europe, even as we speak, they're increasing here, is that the homeless are God's messengers. They are here sent by God to invite the rest of the world, to invite you and I to his wedding party. The method of accepting the invitation is that you must take in the messenger as if he were your own brother. But when you take him in, you must treat him not like you've treated your natural brothers and sisters. You must treat him as though he were your right arm. The blessing of the homeless is they will so totally reveal your need for repentance that they're like, I mean, I'll never have to preach again. You just bring a homeless person around you. You will see nothing but your own selfishness. I can just hear that message going to the present day fundamentalists. who are God's messengers, are to a Baptist convention who call themselves messengers. We lost one of the ghost riders because I offended her. To depress the hireling and his wages, the widow, the fatherless, and to turn aside the stranger from his right. And fear not me, saith the Lord. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Now return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? The word return is the word shub. And most of the places shub in the Hebrew is translated as repent. What it says is, repent unto me, and I will repent unto you. But his repentance is, what he's saying is, he's not going to destroy you from off the face of the earth. You understand? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole people. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. I hate to tell you this, folks, but I told Stealth last night, so I'm sure it'll slowly get around the camp. We've had these series of hot seats. We've had, you know, the Grove and the High Place Identity and the Molten Images and the Wood Hand Stubble and, you know, those kinds of things. Well, there's another section. There's another battle that's typified by the gems in the Bible. And this just reminded me of it. Stay there. I'm going to go someplace and read you something. We are laborers together with God, for you are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold or silver, wood, hay, or stubble, but the big one is, or precious stones, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and that fire shall try every man's work of what it is. Now, the reason for hot seats is to have a hint. Zephaniah, if you remember, says you should experience what it will be like on the day of judgment. Now, the precious gems are the pieces of the God stuff that you sort of use either as adornments or weapons or something to use as an instrument of commerce to get something. You hear me? Rather than living and presenting the full counsel of God, you have taken that counsel of God and made it into a series of small little... Now, the world does it too. The world, so everybody uses these gems, precious gems. And the gems, I mean, there's some of them are just pure bangles and beads. I mean, they're so obvious, but they, you know, when you're a little kid, they're still, they're useful. And so you got little gems that you throw out, little things that are little attractions or something to attract. Well, that's what we're going to address. Yeah. Huh?
When?
It probably won't be till next spring. So you got a lot of, you can forget about it.
Building the wall now.
You can start selling your jewels now. Sell the family jewels. That's my.
Sell the family.
Really? They're not being used anyway. I mean.
Let me tell you about these jewels. You couldn't carry on a conversation unless you use these jewels.
Wow.
Okay, back to Malachi. Verse 11, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord. All nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Okay, that's one section. You understand? That's a roll. Now we got a whole other subject here. It should be another verse or something. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have you... Why have we spoken so much against thee? You have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? Now, it doesn't say that in Hebrew. What it says is that, what profit is it that we have tried to keep his ordinance? And that we have walked mournfully before the Lord. What profit is it? See? As long as your mind is result-oriented, you will say it is a vain thing to serve God. And when you're in that state, you call the proud happy. You call they that work wickedness, you set them up. And they that tempt God are delivered in your mind. You understand? Once you've entered that domain, then you see everything as opposite. Yeah, let's go back. Let's go back to Genesis. Verse 21, and the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. Let me stop a minute. What we've just read in the Battle of the Kings is modern day Israel's title to the land, in their opinion. By the right of conqueror, since they conquered the original guys, then this is where they say their promised land is. This is the right. This is the title right. So this what we're studying is extremely important in world history. Understand that a little bit? Okay. And the king of Sodom, remember remember up here, he got captured and all the people from Sodom got captured. And verse 10, and the vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountains. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. They took Lot, Abram's brother, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods and departed. Okay, now we're back down to 21. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. Now, when he said he'd lifted up his hand, it meant he'd made a solemn oath to God that he would not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet. and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldst say that I have made Abram rich. Save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion.
Those were the three guys that...
Right. Now, what?
Those were the three guys that... Right. The three guys, were they three guys who warned him and said... They weren't of him.
They were his friends. They weren't of his people, but they...
They were friends of the bridegroom kind of...
Right, they were the Canaanites. In the New Testament theology, they are the friends of the bridegroom. Well, I want you to understand something. The king of Sodom only got 90% back. Because Abraham tithed on everything. And gave everything else back. That's why Christ has always said he's poor yet making many rich. You understand that? You see spiritually what he did? He had the right to it all. He took 10%, gave it to the Father through Melchizedek, gave the rest back. That act of giving everything else back was the test that the feeding by Melchizedek had worked spiritually. Now, for the first time in his life, he's ready to be a father spiritually. Because, right, he recognized he owned all things. You understand? Now he could spirit. He was. Now he's gonna mess up here, because he's gonna be a spiritual father. He's ready to be a spiritual father, but the first thing he does is he takes Hagar to the tent. So he makes a deal with flesh. Well, that deal that he made with flesh has plagued mankind ever since. But, I mean, that's too part of the test. You have to see that the deal with flesh, that the flesh, the Ishmael by the flesh. First he had to see that his relative Lot couldn't be the inheritor of the promise. Then he had to see that he'll see now that Eliezer can't be the inheritor of the promise. Then he has to see that Ishmael can't be the son after the flesh, the child of the flesh, nothing of the flesh, can't be the inheritor of the promise. It can only be the child of the promise that receives the promise. But even in the child of the promise, he then has to give everything up. He has to give the promise up. The mystery of God is the constant emptying of yourself. And that's what we will learn in this next few chapters. That's why Abraham is called the father of faith. That's why he's the example to you of how you live a life as a believer. It's the continual emptying of self. Now, we're not talking about possessions. We're talking about this emptying. The joy, I mean, there's a selfish reason. It has a selfish component, because the joy that you can feel only hides the greater joy. The light that you can see only hides the greater light. When you walk in the light, then the light that you can perceive with the senses, I mean, pretty soon it's dark compared to the light. The lesson of, I don't know why, I just keeps going over. Don't, I mean, it's been this way with bananas for the last 3 weeks. Don't sell your birthright. Don't sell your birthright. You have not yet resisted unto the shedding of blood. Don't sell your birthright. We are about something the world knows not of. We are not of this world. We are an alien tribe that has infiltrated this world. only for our supreme rite of passage as the bride. Don't be deceived by all this garbage. Amen? I don't want to talk anymore. Take it, big guy.